In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. In today's beautiful gospel, we hear the story of Jesus visiting with the Samaritan woman. And just to elaborate a little bit on the picture that was painted in today's gospel, we know from probably past sermons and past years that the Samaritans are heretics to the Jews, and Jews are heretics to the Samaritans, and the primary thing that they argued about was where to worship, and that there's a historic break in the lineage. And in this debate that they had, they hated each other. And so it wasn't simply that we could say with our Lord talking to this woman, there are a multitude of layers of things going on. One is that Jewish rabbis don't talk to women. And there are many things in the Torah within the Talmudic writings, the traditions, that very clearly say, you know, don't talk to women, especially in the street. It was more proper for him, it would be proper for him to address another male or the husband, but it would never be proper for him alone to have a conversation with a woman. First of all, as a man, second of all, as a pious Jew and a rabbi, and then, most importantly for today, third of all, because this was a Samaritan woman. And when he asked for water, he's asking her to take her what would essentially be a skin pot and to drop it down within that well. But Jews would not ever drink from a Samaritan vessel. They would never touch such a thing because it would make them unclean. And so Jesus, in his action of simply addressing this Samaritan woman, has essentially stepped over a lot of lines. He's broken a lot of taboos. And he's engaged her as a human being in a conversation. And in the conversation, we see, as you follow it, that there's a progression that happens. You could say that she starts out with Jesus the Jew. Then it goes on to realize that maybe there's something more about him. Maybe he's a prophet. By the end of it, she's asking the question in front of people, could this or is this possibly the Christ, as she gives her testimony to the people of Sychar. So that progression is entirely normal for those who would encounter Christ, not only in his earthly life, but also in the spiritual realm, even in our day and age. And when we see the conversation, we see that Jesus is very masterful. You notice that he never really actually engages her in any sort of argument. He doesn't dig in and fight. He simply, in many ways, parries and talks about something else to bring her to more depth, to make her consider her own questions and to lead her down a path where she can see things more clearly. And then, of course, he does something that is rather impolite. He calls her out. He tells her that she has had, in the Greek, the way the conversation goes, he asks about her husband, and she only answers with two words, which is basically, "A husband I do not have." And then he's in, you know, as if she kind of wants this to go away. You know, "Yeah, I don't have a husband. Let it go away." But then instead of letting it go away, he draws attention to it. And so the first word he says, "Husband, you have spoken truly. You don't have a husband, but you've had five." And so we see that not only is he not going to let it go away, but he's going to give it a lengthier sentence to draw attention to it. And the fathers will say to bring her to a sense of repentance, so that she can not only see that he's a prophet, but also can come to acknowledge him as the possibility of being the Messiah, the Christ. So there's a lot of, after the conversation with the Samaritan, there's a lot of language about harvest and sowing and reaping. And throughout the Old Testament and within the New Testament, this is a prime analogy that, of course, everyone in society would understand, because everyone eats. And everyone in that time, much more agrarian culture, much less people living in cities. And so to tease out that analogy for us, and that gives importance to the final statements of today's gospel, we know that the Lord created heaven and earth, and that as farmers, each one of us has the abilities to possibly plant seeds. But we know that the earth was given to us by God, and we know ultimately that the seed was given to us by God. There is certain work that has to be done to prep the soil, but we know that the soil was given by God, and sometimes it's just simply good soil where things grow. And so the farmer would plant the seed, and he has no control over the weather. He has no control over the sun, the wind, the rain, and all those things are gifts by God. And if you've ever talked to farmers, it's a very fickle system. I was listening to peach farmers in Georgia on the radio talk about this year's weather, this year's unique weather, and how last year they lost much of their crop, you know, because of the weather. So there's a sense that what they have control over. They have control over the seeds that are planted. They have control over how they tend the soil. But the majority of the crop is something to give thanks about, because ultimately God accomplishes the work with the weather, with the sun, with the surrounding earth, with giving us breath so that we even can tend to these things. And then comes time for the harvest, and the harvest is not something that God does. God sends workers out to the field, and the farmers harvest, and they gather together, they store in barns, or they service one another. And this is the general process that's been going on since the beginning of time, of planting and harvesting. And of course, the farmer has to be aware of not letting weeds grow up and such things, to make sure the crop is not a crop of weeds, but rather a crop of what he has planted. So in today's gospel, you know, Jesus refers to the harvest. He says an interesting statement to the disciples. He says, "Open your eyes. You say that there are 4 months and then the harvest." And this is another way it could be understood as saying, after you've planted, you know that it's going to take 4 months till the harvest, and so why not relax? You say it's 4 months to the harvest. Sit back and relax. There's nothing to do while you wait for the crop to grow. And then he says, "But I say to you, behold, the fields are white. But unless they're picking cotton, the fields are not white." If he's actually talking about wheat, or most of what would be planted in that context, he's certainly not talking about cotton, then the fields would be golden, not white. So many of the fathers will speak that, what does Jesus say when the fields are white? He's looking out, because we have heard that the people of Sychar are coming. They're walking towards him. And so I think it's Father Farley in one of his commentaries says, he looked out and he sees the people of Sychar with their typical white robes walking out to meet Jesus, because they heard the report of the Samaritan woman. And that now's the time for the harvest, and that this harvest would be to eternal life. And we see what happens. The woman went back. She planted seeds. She did work, even though it probably didn't feel like work. She spoke about Christ and all that she had encountered to everyone she could meet. And they came out to meet Christ himself. And then it says by the end, they came to believe, not because of her word, because of their own hearing and experiencing of Jesus Christ. And we are to understand that was the harvest that day. Now, the apostles don't understand what Jesus is talking about when they're going through his conversation. And so it starts out talking about food, and by the end of it, it's talking about the harvest and eternal life, because Christ has food, which they do not understand, that he consumes to do the will of God. Now, this would have been a very poignant gospel reading for the early disciples in the church. It certainly would have been even for the apostles. But it is also something that is meant directly for us, which is that we are the people who now sow the seed. We are the tenders of God's garden. We are the ones that are called to go out there and to plant the message of the gospel. We are also the ones that are the ones at times to harvest, to take those from generations past or from days past who have received the seed of the Word of God in their hearts, and to be the ones who receive them and guide them into their experience and their personal experience and belief in Jesus Christ. Now, when you encounter people out in the world, we're supposed to encounter people as spiritual beings. As Orthodox Christians, we really shouldn't think about black, white, Asian, poor, rich. I don't know. We shouldn't really think about their sexuality. We shouldn't really think about all the categories which people have been divided up into nowadays. We encounter other human beings as human beings. And when we speak to them, we don't need to engage in argumentation. There's very few people who have been converted from arguing, because arguing, it re-entrenches the people involved, and they're stuck in their opinion, and ultimately often runs many people off. As they say, two people are arguing, it's hard to tell which one is a fool at the end of the argument. There's a better saying than that, I just can't remember it right now. So we don't need to argue, but we do need to go from surface to depth. It starts out with an introduction of who we are. It starts out with meeting people where they are, at the well in this case, but meeting people out in society exactly where they are, and then a conversation with them that breaks taboos, because we, as Orthodox Christians, we have no boundaries when it comes to other human beings. We have nothing that keeps us from loving our enemies and loving our neighbors and loving everyone as God has created them. And then we plant seeds. And the seeds are the fruit of our lives. The seeds are where we've taken in Christ, where we've experienced Him. It is our testimony, as with this woman today, the Samaritan woman Fotini. It is in her testimony, her experience, that ultimately leads the others to consider that maybe this is the Christ. And so when we talk to people, there's no need to argue, but we can speak about what the Lord has done for us, about where He has brought us, about how we've experienced Him, about how He has drawn us in. But as with any harvest, as with any seed planting, it's not up to us to convert people. It's not up to us to convince people of the truth of Christ, because it's absolutely impossible to do so. People cannot come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit somehow draws them. And the Holy Spirit, there is so much secret stuff going on in the background of people's lives. Little things that are being planted by God, by other people, by possibly ourselves, that may lead down a path of conversion, but it's all in God's timing. It's all in God's timing. And then the third part of today's gospel is being awake. For the disciples, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was all what they were supposed to be doing. It was all about evangelizing. It was all about going out and making disciples. It wasn't about their lives. It wasn't about relaxing. It wasn't about eating and drinking and being merry. The point of it, being a disciple, in many ways, was to bring the message to other people. As one, priest said it, you know, we are beggars who have found bread, who want others to know about it. Because it is life, it is salvation, and it is the real meaning and depth of life. At the end of this encounter of harvesting, the people said, "We believe because we have seen ourselves and we have heard." Let's never forget that Christ isn't a philosophy, and that people have real, profound, in-depth, transformational experiences of Him now. Now, maybe you're not having them every day, Maybe I'm not having them every day. But people have them. We see miracles in our day and age. The power of Christ is no less real today than it was when Jesus spoke these words. And so that should give us a boldness in our testimony. A sense that it isn't about teaching the past. It's about an encounter now. It's not about conforming someone to our religion. It's about having them, bringing them to a person through our prayers, through the planting of seeds, and through our kind redirection and bringing even those enemies that we may have into the fold. May God bless us to take today's gospel seriously, to find ourselves in it, and to take it seriously that we are now the ones in charge of planting the seed, some seeds, that we are in charge of cultivating them, and that each one of us should be looking out and seeing these white fields that we're surrounded with, looking for harvest to bring people into the fold, to bring people into the kingdom of heaven where they may encounter Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.